Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome back to Camp Half Pod. We are your head counselors. I'm Erin, daughter of Athena.
And I'm Monica, daughter of Persephone. Today we're giving our final review of the Percy Jackson series and documentary on Disney Plus. And we're going to be talking about what's next for Camp Half Pod.
I feel like we have a lot to cover, but also it's like very fragmented, random things that we're like, oh, we need to talk about this and this and this.
I really like being able to take a step back from this series, because I feel like when we recorded our last episode, it was late. I was trying to pack for a trip, so I feel like I was very disoriented. I think you had just like come back from, it was like after work for you. So probably. I feel like we were trying to digest and talk about all the things that happened on the show and the finale and our feelings. But like, there was just so much about it. And especially when you take a moment to like be on social media and see what other people are saying, I love people's analysis. Like, I love how deep people go. I think that's one of my favorite things about being in a fandom and social media, is that people see things that you don't see, and it starts a discussion, and you can start like, you know, seeing things that you wouldn't have picked up the first time. And I love that. And I feel like when we pre-recorded and we got to drop things early, that was nice. But I feel like we missed a couple of things that we wouldn't have if we had watched it with everyone else and then recorded after. But I also liked being untainted by social media. Same. Too.
Same. I preferred like being untainted by it, because then it was just our reactions and we just enjoyed that. And then I did feel like I got to kind of relive it again by going on Twitter after the episodes aired and seeing what other people thought. And sometimes it annoyed me because I was like, well, they're wrong. But other times I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that. Speaking of, I literally just saw this tweet like an hour ago and it killed me. It was a picture of Luke next to a picture of Gale from The Hunger Games, and it was like, they're the same. And I was like, I hope that every Luke sympathizer feels like they were just shot by seeing that, because they're not wrong.
Oh my god. Have you heard of the new sound on TikTok that's like, it's Grimes being interviewed like 10 years ago, where it's talking about who's Duffy? And it's like, Duffy is like my muse, and also he's a leader of the cult that I'm in.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, they did that, except it's Percy talking to Luke and he's like, who's grandpa? And Luke is like, he's a leader of the cult that I'm in.
He's my muse also.
He's my muse. Crook. Gosh, oh, God, love those. I really hope they include boat shoes.
Me too.
I hope they dress Charlie up fully in like the just frat boy douchiest like boat shoes, salmon, like colored polo.
Yeah.
Khaki shorts for some reason.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope that they, you know, I think that Percy should have started calling Luke Brooke. I think that would have been funny. Disney, take notes from us.
Please pay us. We actually patent Crook.
We should patent that. I've seen other podcasters use that, and I'm like, excuse me, trademarked.
No, I love that it picked up.
No, it's art. We should get paid. I'm like, can we have your 2 cents of ad money, please? Thank you.
Oh. All right, Erin, do you want to tell our listeners how we're going to do this random bonus episode?
Sure, I will. So I think what we're planning to do, we have a good chunk of audio messages. I listened to a bunch of them. I kind of grouped some together that were all the same vibe, and I'm hoping that our wonderful editor, my sister, will make a montage that we'll play at the end. So we'll have some time for that. And then too, if there's any audio messages that like I think to bring up in conversation, we'll also include that because there's been some with lightning bolt questions, etc. We also will be talking about like our overall review of the series, and we also have to reveal our season superlative winners, which you all voted on Instagram on. I did not write the winners on this document, so Manasa does not know the winners of our, you know, seasoned awards. And I'm excited because there were some close battles. And then we also will be talking about like what we're doing next and what our plan is, because I realized recently, I was like, we kind of completed what we originally set out to do. Because when we started this podcast, we were like, oh, we're going to do the three series. The show hadn't been completely greenlit yet. And so we are free falling now with what's next, but Rick just keeps giving. So he keeps feeding us.
We have a lot of options, so we'll have to figure out which ones we're going to do and how we're going to do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have some emails. I have three emails. Everyone writes so well. I love getting emails. I do sometimes. I am slow about responding. I've gotten better, I have noticed. And I've got a lot of emails, especially with this, with the creation and the release of the Disney Plus show. So it's been really fun to see what you guys have to say. But like, I chose three that I think, one, are written just so well. I am very in awe of people, especially they're from our younger listeners who just write so well. I hope you guys continue to write letters and emails in a very like flowy fashion, not corporate style, like you'd be forced to when you're older. And they're just like very sweet, and I want to read them to Erin because I feel like you guys deserve a live reaction from her.
We also love the emails that are like, here's my dog.
Those are my favorite. Those mean so much to me. I hope you guys understand that I tell everybody about them.
They're so funny. This is the energy that I think the younger generation, I don't know, there might be like 40-year-olds sending us their dog. Who knows? But like Gen Alpha is very much the energy. I think that corporate email might die off with them. And I think that's okay. Does. I would love to email my colleagues and just be like, what's up? Where's that spreadsheet?
Yeah, thanks. Bitch.
Here's a pic of my dogs.
So I don't know. I'm very excited to start talking about, we've had a crazy season this season. So
wild. I feel like so much. I mean, we just had what, like 8 episodes and then one extra episode talking about, the press conference. But I feel like we went to so many like virtual press conferences and just like so much was going on in the Percy Jackson world. It's wild.
We get like doing coordinating. We're trying to get things done and out in a timely fashion. Mm-hmm. We're trying to remain a little bit more professional because we gained a lot of listeners. So it's a lot of pressure, which is fun. But it's also, Erin did a great job social media because we got a lot of new followers on social media. We did.
Oh my goodness.
A lot of engagement, which is fun. But I think Erin has done a lot. So if she takes a break, if she chooses to do that, I feel like all of us can say, okay, good job.
Yeah. If I don't reply to your DMs quickly enough. Actually, Modest is on there. And she's welcome to reply to DMs she wants to. I don't allow her to. I keep her.
Well, I used to not. I used to not look because we were doing Trials of Apollo. Yeah, so I was like very careful. And so I can return to that scene now.
That's true. That's true. I forgot about that. That's also been weird because serendipitously, we finished Trials of Apollo in November, and then these started coming out, like the show started coming out in December. We got the screeners in like mid early December. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really get a break from this. It feels like our season 3 was also our season 4 with doing Trials of Apollo. So it all kind of like blurs together, and it's wild to me that that was all like a few months ago. We were still wrapping up Trials of Apollo because so much feels like it happened with the show and everything.
And normally we take almost 2 months off at the end of a series. So we didn't get to do that. So it's going to be a little bit later in our timeline, but we will have to be taking a little bit of time off.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. But I'm excited. Talking about the show is so fun, and getting to be invited to things was really cool. Like, I genuinely felt like a celebrity. There was a moment where you had texted me that we got an email, like, invited to one of the press conferences, and I was at work and I was so excited that, and I was talking to like a student employee we have, and I was like, do you like Percy Jackson? And then someone, like one of the, cause I work on a college campus, one of the other students was like, oh my God, I love Percy Jackson. And I was like, can I tell you something? I got invited to this press thing with these students. And so I felt like a celebrity. Students thought I was very cool. I hope that they didn't look up the podcast.
Yeah, but that's all
like, you'll never respect me again. But I felt very cool. And it was a lot. And it was an extra level of a lot, because not all of the other Percy Jackson podcasts, but a lot of them were all doing the same thing at the same time. And one of the things I've always loved about the like Percy Jackson podcast community is everyone's really supportive. We all historically have been like at different points in the books, doing different types of things. And with us all doing the same thing at once, it felt like it got a lot more like competitive, and people weren't like, I don't know, maybe we just weren't collabing because weren't invited to things. And it felt like it was like everyone doing the same thing and competing. So I'm very excited to get back to doing our own thing for a little bit and having our own pace.
Yeah. And it's not as much as competing as much as it is like, we love to guest and have guests on our own. And it's hard to do that when we're doing the same material, because it's the same podcast. Whereas like when... if someone else is doing like Heroes of Olympus and we're in Trials of Apollo, it's really fun to go revisit that part of our like reading experience together and have them come and give their new opinions on Trials of Apollo. So you're right. And I also feel like I was thinking about this earlier, is because Trials of Apollo was so unhinged in so many of the ways, the random singing, a lot of the plot points. I feel like I was like, having like going through a fever dream and a lot of the plot.
It was a fever dream. Yeah.
And so to go from that back to like, I feel like when we started this podcast, like we were like lightly unhinged, but I don't think for re-listening to us, I think like when we were doing our analysis, we were very like a lot more deep and more insightful. And as the series progressed, like Heroes of Olympus, because it has some really wacky plot points, we kind of started getting off track with like Brittany and all of that stuff.
Brittany!
And then Trials of Apollo was extra whack. So like, I think to suddenly do a complete 180 and to come back to Percy Jackson, like the original series in TV form, and like doing deep analysis again, it felt a little like whiplash.
100%. We're like, oh, there's actually, we have really deep thoughts about this again. Whereas we were just like vibing with Apollo for a while there, which, you know, listeners, if any of you haven't read Trials of Apollo, it is a fun time. I think if you listen to us during it, it'll be more fun because the books are already incredibly weird and unhinged. And we had a lot of really fun guests on for Trials of Apollo some of the other podcasts. So highly recommend listening to those. And that's another, because I know a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so sad I don't have Percy to watch now. Like, a lot of people haven't read Heroes of Olympus or Trials of Apollo. And if you're someone who maybe struggles to read thicker books, you could just listen to our podcast.
All right, let's digest the series. What was your favorite episode? Yeah, let's talk about it. What was your favorite episode, Erin?
Oh, I feel like I need to watch them all again. And also, I feel like I need a break from it in my brain for a moment. But I think that my favorites were probably, I loved the last one. I thought the last one was really well done. And I also loved the Medusa one. So that would be episodes 3 and 8, I think, are my favorites.
I also loved the Medusa one. And I think I'm finding out it's a little controversial, but I really loved the Lotus Casino.
I do too. I don't know why it's controversial. I think that that's silly.
I think so too.
I was bored and I'm like, well, it was a 30-minute show. Maybe you should take your ADHD meds and pay attention.
Maybe you should. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get a piece of paper to doodle on.
Girl. Check yourself, maybe.
Well, I'm speaking to myself as the audience. Maybe I should post my doodles for when I do this. I feel like I write down like a random word we say sometimes. They're not nice. Anyways, I agree. I think six was good. I think that people like to be haters, and as someone who also occasionally likes to be a hater, take a break from it. Just enjoy things.
What is your favorite scene from the movie, from the TV show?
I wrote these questions and I don't even know the answers.
Okay, then I'll talk. So yeah, my favorite scenes, I would say I really loved the consensus song. I thought that was funny and just like very. I also loved the scene of Percy them playing Capture the Flag. Mm-hmm. But I will have to say, I'm like ranking them. Second favorite scene was when Percy falls off the arch and that moment Ooh. Where he's told to breathe and let go. I really loved that. But top scene for me was Percy driving the taxi. I thought it was so funny. I think that's why I like that episode so much. It just like, it really got me.
It elevated the whole episode, the whole series. I agree. I think that's probably my favorite scene. Another standout one to me, I loved the scene in the very first episode with the Minotaur when Sally and Percy are talking to each other right before she like sacrifices herself. That was very beautiful. I really just loved anything Sally was in.
Mm-hmm.
Like her scenes were so good. And yeah, the car driving one. And I also loved in the Medusa episode, the part where like after they fight Medusa and the three of them really, that feels like the first time they all really bond. And they're all like, Grover is kind of facilitating a group like workshop. He's like, Percy, why are you acting like this? Annabeth, why are you acting like this? And it's adorable, but I loved that scene. It was really good.
That is, yeah. The character development throughout the series was really good. I will say, now that the series is over, I think we said it last time, but I really truly recommend you guys watching it and try to watch it either in chunks or binge watch all of it. Because I know pacing was something that a lot of people were having trouble with. And I agree, when you're watching it standalone and you have a week in between, it feels really slow. The pacing feels wrong. You're also trying to remember what the book was like. And you're like, they have to cover so much more, but they don't have enough episodes it's a lot. But when you watch it all together, it makes a lot of sense, which is honestly a mistake on Disney's part to release it slowly. I think they should have released it all at once.
Yeah. I think that that's true. My dad also agrees with that. He told me the last time I was over there, he was like, the one smart point you guys had. And I was like, okay, what's with the dig? And he was like, was that they should have done it all at once. And I'm like, thank you so much for insulting me. Thank you, Tom. But I agree. I think that. But I've seen some people talk about how they really loved the experience of having one a week and getting to sit down every Tuesday night. And I enjoy doing that too. I just think if it's a weekly release, I want the episodes to be longer, personally.
Agreed. And I think they could have easily made them longer if they were going to release weekly. There's a lot to cover. There's a lot that they could show. They could have expanded the universe even beyond the book a little bit. Things that that we couldn't see, or, you know, if Rick had new ideas, he could have implemented them. I think he could have made it longer for sure.
So speaking of like the changes or the things that were cut, what are some of the changes in the show that you liked or maybe you're still not sure about or things that you wish they'd included and they cut?
I am still so confused. And I know it's like weird to hyperfixate on this. I just am really bothered that they didn't wrap it up in a clean way of like, why was Annabeth stuck in Asphodel? Why wasn't Grover stuck in Asphodel? Asphodel.
Asphodel. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I did. Oh, I saw some interesting takes on the asphodel thing. I think this was in our Discord because we went off on this and someone mm-hmm. pointed out that Grover isn't a human. And so like canonically in the books, Grover's talked about how if he ever dies, he doesn't go to the underworld. He's comes back as like a tree. True. And so Grover wouldn't get rooted there because I think it's only for humans. And I was like, oh, that fixes that in my brain.
Yeah, in my brain, but that makes me frustrated that they didn't talk about that in the show so that it looks like it's, I knew it's a stupid plot point if it's only for furthering your suspicion that Annabeth is actually the one who's going to betray Percy. If that's the only reason they put that in there, maybe they put that in there to maybe explain her character a little bit, that she's a character who lives with a lot of regret. But then they could have had a moment where either Annabeth talks to Percy or Grover or like unburdens herself a little bit of that guilt.
Yeah, I would have liked that too. And I think I really hope that if they get a season two and they continue that that's something that they go into more, because I think there's a lot of character development to be had for Annabeth and giving her background. And the second season or the second book is where we get a lot more of Annabeth and Annabeth's fears and her wants and her desires and her trauma. And so I hope that that isn't something they just leave hanging off to the side.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I'm still finding that our reaction to the throne scene in the Tunnel of Love is a very hot take. People loved that. And I don't have a problem with it anymore. I think initially I was like, what's happening? What are you doing? And I don't have a problem with it, but it definitely wasn't my favorite scene the way people are. I'm just not like other girls, so.
I just don't, I'm just like, I get it. But I was like, didn't we just do this? I think it would have made a lot more sense. I mean, I guess it's like showing us that Annabeth really cares for Percy.
Yes.
But it's not showing, it's telling us that Annabeth really cares for Percy. And so, I don't know. I still, my take is that I don't think that was necessary. I would have preferred the spiders, which I understand they couldn't do. Like, logistically, it was really hard to make the spiders come to life. So they just mentioned it later. But I think I would have preferred the spiders and Percy seeing Annabeth in this vulnerable position rather than continuing to sacrifice himself.
Yeah, I did love that moment for Annabeth, though, where she like yelled at Hephaestus and kind of established the fact that she no longer has the kind of
reverence
and trust for the gods anymore. I liked that.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it's not like something that ruined the show for me at all. It just was like kind of like an interesting choice that they made that wasn't my favorite, but I'll live.
Yeah, I liked it. It's made some really good fan edits. I will say that some very adorable fan edits have come out and like heartbreaking on the TikTok. TikTok is bringing back fan edits. I don't know. Maybe just wasn't on that side of TikTok, but it is so reminiscent. I used to watch so many fan edits on YouTube when I was like 12. Aww. No, it was bad. It was like a lot of Harry Potter or Hunger Games fan edits.
I see really a lot.
Dramatic songs.
TikTok fan edits have gotten me to watch shows I don't think I would have watched or else. So that's been fun. Or movies. And so, I don't know. I love the people get the tools to be as creative as they want. Now we actually have scenes and a TV show that we can make edits of. So, thank God.
Exactly. We're going back to our roots of kind of cringy fan edits. But now the youth are much better at making edits than on TikTok than they were on YouTube. We've gotten this question, or people have DM'd us this as a lightning bolt question, but people have asked us to rank the episodes from like favorite to least favorite. I feel like I'm gonna have to write this down.
I always find that whenever I rank anything, y'all hate the way I rank things. When I rank the books,
you do specifically.
They're like, you're wrong. And I have a feeling this one is going to be, once again, the same thing. I don't think that we're going to agree. We're going to have to agree to disagree, every single person in the world listening to this. Because I don't think I have the same opinions as anybody. They tend to agree with you, though.
Well, I think, or is it me agreeing with them? You know, like I interact with them a lot on social media. And so I kind of have a pulse of what I'm like, they're like an amorphous creature.
the mob.
Like what what the fandom overall thinks. And so I'm like, is it my people pleasing? Is it because I don't want to be wrong? So I really try to just go with my gut for this and not with what I know the people ranked. So I don't know, maybe mine will be hated as well.
How do you want to do this? Do you want to say, do you want to start from the bottom and say what our least favorite is and go up? Or do you want to start from the best and go down? Do you want to do your list?
Let's start from the bottom. Let's start from the bottom.
What is the worst episode, Erin?
I don't want to say it because I'm going to get canceled. My worst ranked one, and I don't think this was a bad episode, was the fifth episode.
Interesting. Mine was episode one.
Oh, okay.
I remember watching it. We got to watch the first two back to back. And so I remember watching the first one and I was excited for it. But as you can tell, even by our facial expressions, like I wasn't losing my mind. I actually thought the pacing was a little weird. I thought that the dialogue was a little, I was like waiting for it to, it's so short. It was so much information presented at once. They needed to dive into the world as immediately as possible. And so it felt a little rushed, especially compared to the rest of the episodes. It just, for me, got better as we went on, kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You did not like the throne scene. Is that what it is?
I don't know, because I didn't mind the throne thing, the throne scene. I just think that overall, like, I felt the least excited watching that one, if that makes sense. I'm going off, like, my vibe, how I felt afterwards, how excited I was afterwards watching it. And I just felt like, I mean, maybe thinking about how where it lands in the book as well, going to Waterworld is kind of like a side quest. Like, it doesn't move the story a ton, except for interpersonally. And I do think that could be also why they added to this episode, they added this conflict, because in the book, they just kind of ride on it. There's the spiders, they get trapped, they have to get off. But it's really just a side quest. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll regret saying that. I don't want anyone who thinks that that's their favorite episode, which is a lot of our listeners, don't take it personally. It's just me.
This is hilarious. No, stand your ground. Say you want to fight, you fight me. Like, you're wrong. My opinion is the only one that matters here, actually.
I can't.
What's the next least favorite for you? What's number seven?
Ooh, this also might be a hot take because this was also really liked among our listeners. The seventh episode, the Underworld one.
I gasped a little. That's surprising. I mean, that's definitely not like a top episode for me, but I definitely that's only because there are other episodes that were even better in my mind. I really liked the Underworld one. That's so interesting.
What did you have for this one?
Five, because I agree with you, but you don't stand your ground.
Yeah, I don't stand my ground. Honestly, I feel like I really liked the episode. I was obsessed with the design. This is why I feel bad. I came up with my top four really quickly, and then the other four, I was like, I feel bad because I like all of them. I really enjoyed all of them. This is torture, but I still am not sure about the change of Annabeth being stuck in Asphodel, and I think I'm like grasping onto that in my brain. Again, I'm kind of just going off like my feelings while watching it. And Hades was different than I expected. I enjoyed him. It was just like, I don't know. It wasn't as fun for me.
I mean, that's fair. Especially because like that's not the Hades we imagine. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. All right, what was
wait, number six. You said five, right?
For and seven. It's the same thing. I didn't like the changes. It wasn't as impactful. I think what I was looking for was them being 12 and them being, there were bits of it that I liked, and they showed that where like Percy's like, I'm sorry you hugged me. You don't have to be weird about it. Like I wish they had extended on that. And one of the main things is like going into the tunnel of love as two 12-year-olds. That's so icky. Mm-hmm. Like, but they didn't do that. They're like, they're on a quest. They have to go. And so that was a bit of a bummer. And so I think that, like, that's what I hyper, like you said, like the asphodel thing, I also like hyperfixated on that being taken away. And so yeah, it just, yeah, it ranks slower.
Yeah. Which it's funny because I feel like when I see a lot of people online, like a lot of the criticism of the show is like, they cut this, they cut this. And I'm like, shut up. Like, it's a different adaptation. It's fine. But then I'm still entitled to my own feelings where I'm like, but you know, we're not saying these are bad episodes or these are bad changes. We're just like, oh, it didn't land for me or it wasn't my favorite. And that's the difference. That is the lesson for people on Twitter. On Reddit, you don't need to say this is a terrible adaptation because you didn't like it. Just say it wasn't for you. You know? I language. I statements. Right, Aaron,
Sixth.
I said the first episode, the intro one. I did love every single Sally and Percy moment from this episode. They were so good. But again, I just, we hadn't gotten to camp yet. I hadn't gotten super duper excited about it yet. But we did get to see the Minotaur, and that was thrilling.
Exhilarating, if you will.
Exhilarating. Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble because for me, it's like, yeah, the Underworld one. And so I put episode 4, I Plunged to My Death.
Okay.
But yeah. I think it's the only reason it's because it's so short. I wish it was a bit longer. It's,
I think it was just the shortest. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did enjoy watching them try to splash Percy with water. I did like seeing Percy plunge to his death and Poseidon save him and him having like a moment of acceptance of him being the son of Poseidon. A lot of it was really good. It just was so short. And the fact that it's a standalone episode was a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I really like Daryl's.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what's the fifth?
That was I the Arch one, the fourth episode.
We're pretty close.
Kind of similar, yeah.
Because for me, it's episode 7. So you had ranked that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I just think it was too short. There were a lot of really good moments in that episode. And I loved, one of my favorite things about that episode was how they bookended it with the opening scene of Percy teaching Sally teaching Percy to swim, and then they ended it with the "just breathe" from the Nereid. I think that was very genius storytelling, and that really bumped that episode up for me because otherwise it was really short and fast paced.
For me, episode 7, I really loved the flashbacks of Percy trying to go to a new school.
Oh, I forgot Poseidon. That was in that episode.
Yeah. Poseidon walking in. You're going to move things around?
I'm going to switch my 7 and 6 ranking. So my intro is going to be the 7th, and the Underworld will be the 6th. Anyway, continue. You should paper right now.
It's scribbles.
Yeah.
I really liked, I loved the Poseidon voiceover of like, I'll be there for Percy when he needs me, like all of that stuff. Seeing Sally and Poseidon interact with them and they didn't look at each other. There's just so much tension.
Yeah. It was a good one.
I liked it a lot. Yeah. I agree. I do like the Fields of Asphodel. Asphodel. Why am I making it like a little town in the Midwest? Asphodel.
Asphodel.
I do love that. That part. Even also, like, I wish we saw more of a Cerberus like wanting to hang out with Annabeth. I thought that would have been cute. I mean, those are like very, very specific nitpicky things. So
yeah, I'll accept it. Yeah. Okay. What about number 4?
Okay, for me, I said episode 8.
Okay. I said episode 2.
Okay. I thought for me it was like a good wrap-up. I liked the last one, but it's not that I don't like it. I just don't like it as much as my top 3.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. I said 2, the camp one. I loved that episode, though. Like these, my top 4 are almost tied, to be honest, but Yeah.
All right. What's three?
I had the casino. Six. Yeah. It was fun.
Me too.
You had that one too.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I think. Wow. 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 Which, wow.
Again, my thing, it's going to be controversial, but I am very curious to see. I feel like maybe you and I have very different lists compared to everybody else. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to, I have all the numbers of like the votes for each episode. I'm going to need to like write down what the order was to see what the listener ranking is.
What was your number two?
Episode 8, the last one. Okay, I thought it was a really good wrap up and it was the longest episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I really enjoyed.
I think for me, I kept thinking it was over and it would last a little bit longer, which was good. But yeah, I was kind of looking forward to seeing the council and like having all. Yeah, I was looking forward to seeing the council. I understand the reasoning for not putting the council. It's a great way. They have to cast them. And also this way they can cast them as the series progresses and make some like in the moment decisions. But
yeah,
Zeus was great, you know. He did a great job. It's going to be really rough.
He was so good. Yeah.
To see what they're going to do with him, and like the character Zeus in the future, how they're going to cast him. But he did an excellent job.
Yeah. And then I think we have the same number one.
Yes.
Right.
Well, I liked, let me say why I love number two. I put number two, episode two as two, because for me, it was just like such an itch was scratched of like my dream to see camp and watching them like play capture the flag, watching Percy be bad at archery and just like Luke be such a good brother, like older brother character. It just, it was so nice, especially since I didn't like one as much. Seeing two made me, it was the one that made me super duper excited for this series.
Same. I'm really glad like when we watched it, we watched them back to back. And I think that was a very smart move on Disney's part too. When they released it to the public, they released those two at the same time, because I think one without two is kind of like, oh, and then with two, it solidifies like where this is going and gets the hype going.
Yeah. And we had the same number one, because I think
Medusa
Medusa, the characterization of Medusa.
Yes.
Making it so much more complicated than in the books.
Yeah. And that was the first change. Like, they hadn't changed a lot in episodes one and two. I mean, there were some changes with like Luke showing Percy around more at camp instead of Annabeth, but there weren't a lot. And this was the one where like they changed a lot, but I was super into it and I was very intrigued about where they're going. And it made me trust the show a lot more and trust where they're going with this narrative.
Exactly. Also just the characterizations, them being on the bus, Percy being so sassy to Annabeth, Grover trying to bring them together, them always bickering. Mm-hmm. I really loved it. I think it was a really great one.
Yeah. Do you want to know what the listeners ranked?
I
think it's one of our season superlatives, which we'll do the rest later, but I can reveal the winner of best episode now.
Yeah, what is it?
Okay, well, I looked at all the votes and figured out the ranking of them. So in last place, similar to you, is the first episode. That was in last place vote-wise. Seventh, sixth, and fifth place were all tied. Three episodes. Oh. These are very different from ours. So I guess second to last, but there's three of them. The casino episode, 6, the arch, 4, and Medusa, 3. I know. Only that's three crazy. People. Yeah, I know. It's wild. And then the votes, the next one is episode 7, so the underworld. Mm. And then episode 2, camp. Mm. Episode 5, the water world. And then the top one, and this was by far that people voted for, was the last episode. So yeah, episode 8. Sense. Yeah, a lot. I mean, I had also put this question out like the day after this episode aired, so it was very fresh on the mind as well. Definitely the winner by far.
Well, since I'm looking at the Wikipedia, Rick wrote the first one, the second episode.
Did he really?
Water World, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess we should shut up about Waterworld if Rick wrote it. We're just being the fans that I love to hate that cling on to things. Lessons learned, I guess. It's fine. We're all entitled to our own opinions. Okay. Right, so let's talk about the documentary a little bit. We're going to give like a mini review because we both watched it. I think you watched it this morning. I finished it this morning. It was great. If anyone, like listeners, if you haven't watched it, it's a really fun watch. It's only like 50 minutes too. It's not super long like a typical documentary. So it was great.
It like hammered in a great job of like talking about each of the kids, like their parents got to talk about them. It was so cute. And it really circled back to how the series was created because a parent was telling his kid a bedtime story. And now these parents get to watch their kids live out their dreams by being these characters. And also just how much this series means to the fans. And so speaking of fans, if you peep earlier in the documentary, you'll see our friend and fellow podcaster, Robert, who is the damn meme page. They made a special appearance for a second when they're showing Comic-Con. So that was really cool. So if you see that, that's a little Easter egg for you.
That's so cool. I know. I was like, what the heck? It's wild. I really enjoyed seeing the parents of the kids, like all their parents being on set. Hearing how much they loved it, especially Walker, who definitely like grew up with these books and he has so much love for them. And that was really special to see. He was talking about relating to it because he moved around a lot as a kid. And I just like, it feels so cool to have someone playing Percy that knows how important of a role this is to so many people because it's important to him. Like, you know, when you think of the movie, no offense, Logan Lerman, but like, I don't think he ever read the books. Like, I don't think he knew how important this character is to so many people and these characters and the way, I was just so happy. Like hearing like Leah's parents talk about her, like studying her lines before bed and like, they just get so into character. It was adorable.
And then seeing them interact, they actually are so comfortable with each other and their chemistry is so palpable. It's just really fun. And I know it's only going to grow as they get older and if they continue to make more seasons to just spend that much time and become more comfortable. It's just fun to see them interact because they truly are their characters in a lot of ways.
They're very funny. Those are some funny kids. So like the comedic timing on those kids is wild. Get them on the podcast. They'd be funnier than us. Like,
they've got better things to do, actually.
I'm pretty sure they do. Yes.
Yeah. I also thought it was really cool because we got to sit in some really awesome press conferences and we got to see those people in the documentary talking about the things that they had told us in the press conference. I was like, it's you get to actually see them do the craft that they described to us over Zoom. Like, walking around the volume, they built such a huge volume in Vancouver. It's so cool the way that the practical effects, the special effects, it's really cool.
I want to go so badly. I'm like, that's only 3 hours away, but I don't, can just we break go in?
Crash.
Disney, crash the site. Like, I know y'all love to do your New York events and your East Coast events, but you should invite the West Coast podcasters, aka just us, to the set. Like, give us that, please. Thank you. Thank you. And good night. But yeah, I was watching the, I started it last night watching the documentary with Mike, and a bunch of the time I just kept being like, I talked to them on Zoom.
That one.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think they know dear. Who I am. They saw my name on Zoom.
Yeah. My name was Camp Half Pod, so I don't think they would recognize me.
Well, they know our podcast name on Zoom.
If they paid attention. Yeah. So definitely watch the documentary. I think it made me love the series more because you see how much love and care they put into making the series, which is, I think, why we went into the series so excited and so open-minded compared to some people who didn't like it as much because we got to talk to people who love their jobs and love the story. And so I think if you watch the documentary, it just makes you feel cozy about the stories that you loved as a kid. Like, it was in good hands kind of thing.
Yeah, it definitely helps to see how much of a feat this whole production was. And that's why we included like a lot of the clips from those interviews, because it was so interesting to learn and to know that there are so many people who really care about this series working on it.
Yeah,
definitely recommend it. It felt like a good way to finish out the series as well, because there's so much hype to be able to sit and like watch that.
All right. I'm ready to do season superlatives. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I had the categories. I already did the best episode category, but the other categories I had are favorite dynamic duo. We have favorite ship, but they're 12-year-olds, so that feels weird. So I changed it to dynamic duo, so including platonic, familial, any kind of relationships. I also have most unhinged. I think we've had that for all of our seasons. That's a classic. Best monster. And then MVP, which we've also had for all the seasons. So, all right, the favorite dynamic duo. What would you say for your answer to this one? What would your vote be?
Percy and Luke.
I don't
Luke.
Think it'll change the winner. Oh, Percy and
I
Luke.
I think
there is a vote for that. Now there's two. You're not the only one who said that.
I thought in this show, up until the end, which we can kind of ignore, up until the end, Luke's character and Percy's character, like watching Luke heal Percy's insecurities about friendship and belonging was so beautiful and so lovely. It is so sad that he ended up being fully evil, but I think
it's really unfortunate.
I think for season one, especially because in the book, you don't get this the same level of deepness and love Percy and Luke have. Because Luke already has that for Annabeth. Percy feels that Luke is a friend. But in the show, Luke is a full mentor. He's a big brother. He's so much to Percy. He's even more important to him than Annabeth and Grover, which they develop over the quest. But before the quest even starts, Luke is like Percy's number one.
Yeah. Another plug for the documentary. They even talked about how like Charlie and Walker kind of have a mentorship relationship as well.
Yeah.
Charlie better not betray him. My personal vote would be for Percy and Sally, which actually got second place votes on our listeners, but my vote does not bring it to first, because of course in first place Percy and Annabeth got the most votes.
I knew that was gonna be it.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. A few honorable mentions, ones that, you know, only one person said, but I thought were funny. Actually, two people said Aaron and the Minotaur. Thank you so much. I'm
bringing
so glad.
Bringing that back, full
Keeping
circle.
Keeping it alive. Two people also mentioned Grover and Aries, which I thought was funny. They were a great duo.
They were.
And then Percy and his driving skills was another one someone said that I thought was quite funny. But yeah. All right. The next category is most unhinged. This one, our votes could change it. I will say this is a close one. So who would you vote for most unhinged?
Clarice.
Okay. That didn't change it, but that's a good one.
My own, actually.
I just added that to our list. Honestly, I kind of want to vote for Clarice too. It won't make a difference, but,
that scream.
That's a really good one.
The way that she went after Percy with no motivation. Like, come on. Like, just pure hatred. Just a hater.
It was so good. She's so funny.
She's so funny. Forsaking an entire game of Capture the Flag for glory just to pick on a 12-year-old who doesn't know any better. Because you can.
He just, like, is, like, dancing by himself in the woods. Like, he's not doing anything to anyone. He's just annoying. I'll vote for Clarice, too. It doesn't make a difference, but I think that's a good answer. We do have a winner by one vote. The winner is Mr. D.
Oh, yeah, Mr. D. He wasn't really in it. I feel like he could have been more unhinged.
Yeah, he could have done more.
Yeah, the paternity thing was pretty funny.
It was really good. Yeah, the close calls, so like only one vote less than Mr. D, both Percy and Aries.
I was going to say Aries was my next one.
Aries is a good one, yeah. And Grover also got a lot of votes, which was interesting. I'm like, I guess.
That's interesting. I mean, when he released the animals, I guess.
I guess, yeah. The other notable one, two people said this. One of them was Sam, our editor, so that was just rude. But someone else said, me from the past with my answers in our rewind questions.
Honestly, though.
Yeah, that was a shout out to that. Thank you so much. Okay, and we already did favorite episode. So the next one is for best monster. What is your vote for this? You could change it. You could change it.
Mine's is Medusa. Am I alone again? Did you type that? No one said Medusa?
You're not alone. You just changed. But my vote will keep. The Minotaur wins.
That's
because
yeah.
Your Medusa vote brought Medusa up to being tied with the Minotaur, but my Minotaur vote brings the Minotaur up to our winner, because I think that feels right. But this was a close one. Minotaur, Medusa, and the Chimera all got a lot of votes. Someone specifically, so good. Someone specifically wrote in Chimera in Chihuahua form, and that I really agree with. Someone also, instead of writing the Minotaur, they said Aaron's mine otar. And that made me uncomfortable.
That's adorable.
But it was punny. I was like, I'm writing that down for my Valentine's.
Will you be my Minotaur?
Will you be my mine? Will you be Minotaur? We have to.
But the thing is, we have to, when we do our unhinged Valentine's, we cannot use the children's faces inappropriate comments.
Nope.
So
nope.
We can use the gods.
And the adults
and the monsters. And then we'll use the cartoon versions of the children.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Last but not least.
And then the last one is MVP. And you could also change this.
I think it's pretty hands down who MVP is.
Who is it?
It's Sally.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. I was going to say you could change it, but I was like, we're both going to vote for Sally, which won't change it because Sally is the winner.
Same as last time.
Sally is always the winner in our hearts. She will win everything, every time. The second place was really quite close, though. If you and I had both voted for this person, they could have won. It was Grover.
Aw.
I know. And then Annabeth also got a lot of votes as well. Everyone else only got like one vote or two. So everyone else was on their own. Someone said Luke. It's like, please elaborate. Yeah, but those are all of our winners for this season. Thank you and for joining along. I will post those on Instagram, and I will make sure to shout out the close ones, because I think MVP, Sally, but like Grover and Annabeth get second, third place. Not Percy, not the like titular character.
No. He's not MVP.
No.
All right, just before we dive into emails and audio messages, we're going to kind of wrap up a little bit talking about what's next. We're going to take February off. I'm traveling. Woo. I think we need a break. But we'll hopefully be back late March or early April. We're going to announce our official date on Instagram and maybe Twitter.
Yeah, who knows?
So look out for that. Yeah, we have the rest of the PJO Universe books. We've got, you know, The Sun and the Stars, The Chalice of the Gods, Wrath of the Triple Goddess comes out next September. So we have a lot to cover. There's always going to be content for us. So,
yeah. We haven't decided which one we're doing first. Maybe I'll put out like a poll
something, I think you
for
should.
What people vote, unless you have a really strong preference. I don't think I do. Okay. Well, we will do one of those when we come back, probably like early spring time. Yeah. That would be like right early spring. We hope to also have more like fun, creative bonus episodes coming your way since, like we were talking about with the show, like being like trying to go on a timeline and get an episode out as fast. We haven't had as much time to do as many like fun, silly episodes. And so we will hopefully have some more of those. And I also am in the process as we speak of setting up a Ko-fi, and it will be set up by the time this episode goes out, and I will post the link. This is a new way for us for you to be able to donate any money to us. We currently only have Patreon, which only lets you do subscriptions. And so Ko-fi lets you do one-time donations. They also can link to your like PayPal or Venmo, which is easy. I know for me personally, I hate setting up subscriptions because I always forget that I have them and then keep paying money and then get frustrated canceling. So I was like, if that's how I am, I feel like maybe our listeners might want that. So we're going to set up the link will be in the episode description for you to be able to do a one-time donation. We still are on Patreon. So if you're already a patron, that's okay. Like, that's still great. This is just an option for people who want to give one time. A lot of hard work went into the show episodes, especially with like trying to get these episodes fast, editing in audio clips from interviews. So we'd really appreciate any form of support that you can give so that we can pay ourselves and our editor. And
pay our editor, yeah, who did a lot of work. Shout out
to Sam. Exactly. But yeah, that's kind of like what's next for us. We'll be back likely late March and we will keep you all posted. But yeah, like Monisa mentioned, I'm hoping to take some time off of social media as much, so you might not get responses as quickly. Monisa will also be traveling, so keep that in mind with emails, but we will be reading your messages and responding to them when we can.
All right, Erin, I have 3 emails to read to you. One of them I have sent to you because it was one of the most beautifully written emails, but I have a couple others. They're just very sweet, and I think that you should hear them. So this one's from Dylan. So Dylan says, "Hi, Monisa. I'm Dylan, and I recently started listening to your podcast on the bonus episode for the Flatal Flaw Quiz, and I took it. I got rancorous for my answer. Also, I'm an Apollo camper. I love your podcast, and I think you and Erin are hilarious. So thanks for having this podcast because it really makes my day to come home after a rough day of middle school because others are mean, and I get to listen to you guys. Thanks so much for all your help because your podcasts have made me laugh when I really wanted to cry. So thank you so, so much."
That's so nice. People are mean in middle school, and it's just so unwarranted, and I'm sorry that people are being assholes to you, Dylan, and I am glad to be your friend and a voice for you to listen to. And that's so nice.
I think we've talked about it a lot especially when we reflect on Percy's age, but being like between 12 to 15, it's really hard because you're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to figure out who your friends are, and the world just seems a little bit tougher and meaner when you're, you know, stuck in an age where you don't have a lot of autonomy, but you have a lot of feelings and opinions and you're trying to grow into yourself. So I think it's very brave when people are more themselves when they are in an environment that isn't welcoming. So thank you so much for your email, Dylan. All right. This email is from Addie. So it's a little bit of a longer one. Let's go. And it's going to make me cry. All right. I want everyone to hear it because it was so beautifully written and it definitely made me cry. So, hey Camp Half Pod, my name is Addie and I'm the daughter of Apollo. I just wanted to take a moment to let you know how much this podcast means to me. I'm a longtime listener, but I've never actually reached out. I've been listening since 2020, 2021. The most recent episode when I first found you guys was the Fatal Flaw episode in Sea of Monsters. I listened to it and I loved your conversations, then went back and listened to all the other ones. Remember, since it was still kind of COVID times, my school had a weird half-day schedule that ended before lunch. So I have so many memories of going home and eating lunch in my backyard after school, listening to your podcast. I was so shocked by how much time had passed when next thing I knew, you had finished the first series. Time really does fly. Of the people who listen, I'm probably one of the younger ones. I was still in middle school back when I discovered your podcast, and now I'm a freshman in high school. I've pretty much grown up with your show. You guys have always been a constant in my life for the past 3 years, and the fact that this podcast is still going is honestly the best thing I could have asked for. I feel like I know you both so personally, like you guys are actually my friends, just because I've re-listened to each episode a billion times. Camp Half Pod has literally always been one of my top podcasts in my Spotify Wrapped, if not my number one. I love you guys so much. And now you're done with Percy Jackson and the Olympians, Heroes of Olympus, and Trials of Apollo. What? When did this happen? I'm so happy for you guys, and I'm definitely not getting emotional right now. Good thing you'll never run out of content, though, because Rick literally refuses to leave those poor demigods alone. Like, as much as I love Chalice of the Gods, Percy has been through too much. The PJ show is out too, of course, and I am loving your episodes about them. I also recently followed you on Instagram and have probably been a little too active with your polls and questions and answers, and liking your posts and seeing your stories minutes after Aaron's posted them. Anyway, sorry this email has gotten pretty long. I just really wanted you to know how much I love the podcast. Your voices are the best part of my week. I hope you guys know how much of an impact you're having, not just on me, but everyone who listens. This podcast is literally so close to my heart, and you guys too, of course. I love you guys. Probably just nostalgic for your podcast as I am for the books themselves. You've been with me for all of middle school, and I hope that you continue to be there for high school too. Thank you so much, Aaron and Monica, for making this podcast. It really does mean everything to me. And I'm sorry again for writing so much, but I literally have 3 years worth of emotions to try to put into an email, so bear with me here. I hope you guys have an amazing week, day, month, life, year, life, everything. Keep doing what you do, because you never know when some little 12-year-old girl might find your podcast. And who knows, maybe one day she'll grow up and finally reach out to the people who changed her life.
That's so, I love that. I've already read that one, but I love that email so much. I sent him, when Monica sent this to me, among other things, of being like, oh my God, this is the nicest thing someone's ever said to me. I was like, tell Addie that they write really well. Like, are they a writer? Yeah. Like that, the structure of that was really lovely. And also, like, I'm so sorry, both Addie and Dylan, I apologize to your parents.
Middle school? Like, are you guys crazy?
Like, come on. I'm sorry that we're swearing in your ears. I hope you don't mind.
All right, I have one more for you. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. This is from Alex. Hi, my name is Alex, and I just really wanted to reach out to you guys. I've loved Percy Jackson and Rick Riordan since I was a boy. The first book I picked up was Magnus Chase when I was 10 or 11, and I haven't been able to put them down since. It's become such a big part of my life, but I've never had anyone to talk to about them, not really. I guess that's where you guys come in. I've been listening to you Unhinged Ladies for about 6 months now, and I'm all caught up on your episodes. Have been for a while now. I began re-listening to the series after the first two episodes of the show came out as a refresher, you know. I was only going to listen to The Lightning Thief. I just finished The Last Olympian today. I'm 17 now, and life's been kicking my ass. I lost two important people to me, and school is rough. Aaron and Monica, you will never understand how much I smile and laugh as I listen to your episodes. You make my day so much brighter. Never stop being who you are. You help more people than you know just by being you. I might be crying a little as I type this. Anyway, you guys are so cool, and I can't wait to hear what you have in store next. Much love from Ireland.
Ireland, that's cool. That's cool. What I respond to. I'm like low-key tearing
emotionally
up.
Stunted.
I know. I have not read that one. I'm low-key tearing up. That's so nice. And I'm so sorry that you've lost people this year. And if, like, I'm so honored to be able to be a source of comfort in this year. And And it's so cool that we're like connect, like new fans are also joining in because of the show and re-listening to our old episodes and living that for the first time.
Yeah. And again, I love getting emails from you guys. You guys are super talented writers. If you don't want an email to be read, but you still write beautifully, just let me know. I won't ever read an email that you don't want me to, but these were lovely. And I feel like it resonates with a lot of our listeners, especially listeners who are in high school and middle school, and even older ones who've been through it before and know what it's like. It's hard. And I'm glad that we have a source of escapism and comfort in these books. And I'm glad that we also can be a source of comfort for you guys too.
Yeah, that's so special. And like, yeah, fiction was always like a source of escape and comfort for me and still is. And I think that's a really special thing to have when you're going through difficult times when you're young and when you're older. And so I'm so glad these stories exist.
Me too.
Thank you for reading those, and thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we sign off and do our outro, I wanted to include an audio message montage because we've gotten so many. So I'm going to give Sammy free creative reign to like splice them up, put them. However, I have a list of the ones I would like for her to include. So we are going to roll this now. We have listened to these already, but we wanted to include this because some of y'all sent such nice things. And also, we're really excited about the prospect of being included in the episode. So here it is.
Hi, Camp Half Pod.
Hello.
Hi, Erin. Hi, Monisa.
Hi, my name's Eris, self-named after the Greek goddess.
It's Emma.
You can call me Bile.
My name is Arwen. I just wanted to know how much you guys have helped me.
You guys' podcast has really made my day so much better every time I listen to it.
It has helped me through some really dark times when I, like, didn't know if I was going to make it to the next day, and listening to your guys' laughter and hot takes about the Minotaur and his Claire's piercings really helped me.
Well, I've been going through a lot lately, and I've experienced bullying, and you guys helped me so much whenever I, like, feel really bad inside or have a lot of anxiety. You make me feel so much better.
I feel like I can share opinions finally about this book with someone.
I have so many memories of going to people's houses and just sitting there and trying not to burst out laughing because of the fact that I had your podcast like blasting in my ears, and at night I would just like stay up and listen, and it just was the best feeling ever because I got to re-listen in the morning when I forgot everything that happened and get to laugh at the jokes for the second time.
You guys are amazing. I love the work you do. You were the first Percy Jackson podcast I listened to religiously. Now I listen to quite a few of them, but you guys have always been my personal favorites.
I absolutely love the podcast, and I love everything that you do. I love that you guys are best friends and you're able to sit and talk shit about fictional characters.
I love your guys' podcast, and of course, as a glorious member of your mob, I just wanted to say that this is clearly the smartest thing you could have done in your life. Talk about some dumb book series? What's the worst that could happen?
I have never failed to laugh at one of your jokes, and it's just the best. I just wanted to say a huge thank you.
I want to say thank you guys for being an awesome pod.
I don't really have words to thank you, but I'm so glad. I'm so thankful for you guys.
I just really cannot stress this enough. You guys are really the best, and I can't wait to see where this podcast takes you.
Anyway, love you guys' podcast. Bye.
Thank you to everyone who sent in an audio message and has joined us. It's been like over 3 years now of this podcast, and it's just been so fun to get to know everyone and to enjoy this series with so many people.
All right. We will see you in the spring. Thank you so much to everybody who has interacted with us this series. It was so much fun to watch this with you guys and to, you know, as usual, to hear your feedback, get your emails. So, you know, if you can and are able, join our Patreon, donate to our Ko-Fi. We also have merch. We would love to continue, you know, doing stuff for you and making episodes. So if you guys want to join us in that, there are some options there.
Yeah, and the link to send us an audio message if you ever want to get included in some eventual montage or have a question that, especially if it's relevant for Sun and the Stars or for Chalice of the Gods, feel free to send that in. The link is in our episode description.
If you want to contact us, social media is a great option. That's Camp Half Pod. Email is camphalfpod@gmail.com. As I've mentioned many times throughout this episode, I love getting emails from you. And again, if you don't want me to read an email, please let me know. But you guys are excellent writers. I love seeing pictures of your dogs. I love the chaotic emails just as much as I love the really sentimental ones. So that's camphalfpod@gmail.com.
Don't forget to rate and review if you have not already.
Bye.